When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Finally this hour, we are crossing over to our friends at the BBC to take a look at some of the events making international headlines. And tonight we're speaking to Rich Preston. Rich, g'day. Nice to have you here.
Hi, good evening. Good to be with you.
Let's talk, first of all, about Israel and Iran. Of course, tensions really went up a notch over the weekend. Iran sending drones and rockets towards Israel. What are you watching out for on this front in the days ahead, Rich?
Well, I think the main thing that most people are hoping for is that there won't be any more of this. That's the message which is coming across on several fronts. We've had the Americans, the Brits, the French, the Germans, also the Kremlin putting out statements saying escalation is in no one's interests. This was really a big deal. The first direct strike by Iran on Israel since the Islamic Revolution. Iran, of course, normally operates through its proxies, Hamas, Hezbollah in Lebanon, the Houthis in Yemen. Now, Iran has tried to justify its attacks on Israel, saying that Western countries are the ones who need to show restraint. Of course, 300 drones and missiles, most of which Israel intercepted. Its famous Iron Dome system kicking into action. It's a very smart piece of tech. It uses radar to detect these drones and missiles. And it looks at which ones are likely to hit built up areas and which ones are likely to kind of fall in a field, and it targets them appropriately. US and British forces as well, from their bases in the region, reportedly involved in shooting down a number of these drones. And Iran did use its proxies in this instance as well, using Hezbollah. Now, as much as we say it sent these hundreds of drones and missiles, there are many thousands which are in reserve. Hezbollah itself in Lebanon has thousands of missiles and rockets which it could theoretically use. Now, if all of these missiles and rockets were to be fired together, that would probably overwhelm Israel's Iron Dome. So this was a very clear message from Iran, but it seems that it wasn't much more than that. They obviously knew that the Iron Dome would kick into action. So there really is this hope that this might be, if you like, a blip on the radar, and that it might pull people around the table to talk and to try and come up with some kind of plan to prevent this happening again. The fear is that it won't happen that way, and there are broader implications too there, including of a wider regional escalation. And think about this region now when you look at it on a map, because right in there, in amongst all of it, is Turkey. Turkey is a NATO member. You've also had US staff in Israel been told that their movements have been restricted by the State Department. If there was, for example, an Iranian strike on the American embassy in Israel, that would be considered an attack on America, which is, of course, a NATO member. So there is that risk that it could bring not just the region, but the rest of the world into a conflict as well. Rishi Sunak's making a statement in the House of Commons in the coming hours. Just really watching out that things won't continue in the way they have over the weekend.
Indeed, yeah, let's hope cooler heads prevail on that one. Now, elsewhere over the Atlantic, and this week, jury selection starts in the criminal trial of former US President Donald Trump over allegations of hush money being paid to an adult film star in the run-up to the 2016 presidential election. I will never get used to saying that sentence out loud. What are you expecting, Rich?
Well, for starters, lots of media coverage. If you're not a fan of US news, then switch your radios off, frankly, because it's going to be pretty relentless over the next few days. This is the first criminal trial, of course, of a former president. The whole process is going to be slow. The trial itself, when it kicks off, is expected to take about 6 weeks, but that can't get underway until the jury is selected. That's what's happening this week. But that itself is going to be a slow process. It's expected to take a couple of weeks, potentially. Now, why is that? Well, think about the role of a jury, a group of your peers who sit there and listen to all these claims and the evidence and consider only that information presented in the courtroom. Mm. Most times, that's straightforward enough. You hear about a case involving person X or person Y, and most jurors will never have heard of person X or person Y. But this is not just any trial. This is the trial of Donald J. Trump, former president of the United States of America. And who hasn't heard of Donald Trump, and who hasn't heard of these stories, let alone his politics and his views and some of the actions he took whilst in office? And that's what's making jury selection really, really difficult. There will be a wide pool of potential jurors, maybe as many as 100 or so, who've been summoned from across lower Manhattan. That group will get whittled down to the final 12 who will sit in on the case when it begins in earnest. Now, each side, prosecution and defense, will be able to raise objections on jurors they think might bring potential bias and might prevent a fair trial. To help with that, jurors have been given a questionnaire of 42 questions. It will ask them obvious things like, are you Republican? Are you Democrat? Are you a member of the Proud Boys? Are you a member of Antifa? But it will also ask about what media they consume, what podcasts they listen to. Do you watch Fox News or do you listen to NPR? Do you watch CNN or do you listen to Breitbart? Now, each side, in addition to that, then does their own research on all these jurors, trawling through, for example, their social media. What did you tweet about when Trump took office the first time? Did you go on a Black Lives Matter march? What did you say about Obama? All these kinds of things. And jurors will be able to raise objections. Sorry, the prosecution and defense will be able to raise objections to jurors they think might be biased. This is going to be a harder job for the defense. That's because of the simple fact that most of Manhattan swings Democrat. Yeah. Joe Biden got nearly 85% of the votes there in the last presidential election. So the defense has got its work cut out to try and find people it thinks will be impartial. Those are the only grounds that that they can reject jurors. It's the bias. They cannot reject people based on age, sex, gender, what they wear, race, anything like that. It's just got to be on issues of bias. A big few weeks in US politics getting underway. Jury selection begins in a few hours.
Man, Rush, that just sounds wild to me that jurors could be, will be asked about what sort of media they consume and be Facebook stalked by the courts. But I suppose this is an unprecedented trial, right? And so,
I think if you want to fuel your conspiracy theorists, there's a movie called Runaway Jury from well over a decade ago now, which is a fascinating movie all about jury selection and how they conspire in this movie to get the jury that they want. But it's got to be an impartial jury. And how do you do that when it's the former president on trial?
Yeah, one of the most famous people in the world. That movie looks great, by the way. What a cast. Gene Hackman, John Cusack, Dustin Hoffman, Rachel Weisz. Yeah. Love it. Great stuff. Gee, Rich, you're here to talk international news and you're doing movie recommendations. That's great. It is the year of elections and voting begins in India's general election this week. Rich, what's happening there?
Yeah, well, we say begins rather than taking place, and that's because India is so huge. This vote will go on for 6 weeks. India, famously the world's largest democracy, of course, nearly 970 million voters. So 6 weeks of voting, but day one is this coming Friday. Narendra Modi wants to stay in office. He leads the BJP. He wants a third term. His main challenge comes from a coalition of political parties, the biggest of which is the Indian National Congress. But get this, Emil, I love this. They've formed this coalition of parties. They have called themselves the Indian National Developmental Inclusive Alliance, or of course, India, for short. Very clever, yeah. Now, we talk about India as the world's largest democracy, but more recently, lots of people have been starting to use that word democracy in air quotes. Mm. They say there's been a great deal of political pressure that's taken away the true sense of democracy, and in particular, they point to some of Mr. Modi's political challengers being arrested and locked up on charges of corruption. Now, they say this is a political vendetta designed to take their names off the ballot paper. Mr. Modi and the BJP, of course, deny that. In terms of electoral issues, Mr. Modi says that he's improved India's global standing. He has improved relations with the US in particular. He's worked closely with the BRICS group of nations. Mm. And he points to generous welfare schemes that he's introduced. But his critics say unemployment's high and that he's turning India into an autocracy. The campaign group Freedom House, which campaigns for civil liberties, classifies India as only partly free. It says that journalists and others who question the BJP have increasingly been harassed. Now, the final result, when we get it, is expected on the 4th of June. But as I say, 6 weeks of voting to contend with first. Day one is Friday.
It's fascinating stuff. Rich, do we have time to talk about Ecuador, or should we leave that for another
Very
moment?
Very briefly, if you like.
Let's go for it. Yeah, yeah. A referendum in Ecuador on a controversial security plan. Tell us about this.
Yeah, this is the government fighting organized crime groups, which the president says are terrorist gangs. The murder, the homicide rate in Ecuador, once a peaceful nation, has shot up. Violence has got much worse. President Daniel Noboa launched a crackdown in January, but its effects were short-lived. So he now wants a referendum to basically give greater powers to the police and the military. That has its critics, however, because many say the military will end up becoming the president's private security force, and it will be used to suppress dissent and his political opponents. That said, most Ecuadorians actually support the move. One recent poll said 70% said they were going to give its approval, give it their approval on Sunday. But there is that concern that it could lead to the stifling of political critics. That referendum in Ecuador on Sunday.
Rich Preston, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.